John from Free Gift from God podcast. Today I'd like to begin in this podcast the start of the body of the Salvation Road process. Now, the first thing that I want to talk about is foundations. And you start anything with foundations. Any building that gets built begins being built with a foundation. If you don't have a solid foundation, then you can't build upon it. And so I want you to understand why these foundations are important. The objectives that I'm looking for out of this is to help you to understand why we need a solid foundation, to show that a foundation is necessary from the scriptures, and to identify the key foundations every Christian ought to know, needs to know. There are many references to the need for foundations in the New Testament. And like a house without a solid foundation, you can't build a strong structure. Christians need to be strong. They need to be mature in the ways of truth. And it's by learning the truth, beginning with the foundational teachings of Christianity, that we begin to grow. This podcast highlights some of the issues and reasons why the correct foundation is so essential. So I want to start looking over in the book or the letter of Peter, the first letter of Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, and this is what it says. So put away all malice and all guile and insincerity and envy and all slander. Like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up to salvation. For you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame. Now here the Bible tells us that there's only one cornerstone, and that cornerstone or foundation stone is Jesus Christ. It's faith, that is, whoever believes in him, that will lead to salvation. Salvation is a process, and we commence the Salvation Road journey through having faith in Jesus, and by his teachings we will grow up to salvation. As long as we long for the pure spiritual milk, that is the foundation teachings of Christianity, then like babes we start to grow. Eventually we move from milk to solid food as we mature, but first we have to start with the foundations. We have to begin with the foundations because you can't build a house. And we see in that scripture there, he's talking about this house of God being built, that we're like stones, we're like living stones that are going to be built into a spiritual house. And so we need that solid foundation of Jesus Christ at the base of this spiritual house that's being built by God. And we are the stones that's being built by. So over in the book of Ephesians, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, in chapter 2, verses 17 to 22, we see these words. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built into it for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Again, we see we're being built into a structure which is the spiritual house of God. The foundations for this structure are the teachings of the apostles and prophets, as this scripture showed us here. That is, the words of the Bible, which are the teachings of Jesus Christ, who is the cornerstone. In every building constructed, the cornerstone is the first stone laid, and all measurements and levels are taken from it. The cornerstone is the most important brick in any building built, for when it's put in place, it establishes exactly how every other foundation stone, wall, and roofing piece are to be put in the right place, if the building is to be as the architect designed it, or if the builder designed it. God is the architect of his house, and Jesus is the cornerstone. The teachings of the apostles and the prophets provide the foundations, and we are the bricks being built into this spiritual house. If we are to be in his house, we must be built on true foundations, on the correct foundations, according to God's master plan. We must come to him as he specifies, not as we want to come. And to do that, we first have to learn his foundational teachings and follow them. Now, there are many people who want to come to Christ according to what they want to do. And you can't do that because God has specified, and the Lord Jesus has specified, a very precise, accurate process by which we are to come to him. He's established what the foundational teachings are. They're not something that man can decide for himself. You can't sort of say, oh, well, I'll choose that one, but I won't have that one. We have to follow all of the teachings as Jesus taught in the Great Commission, where he said to teach all the new disciples that came, teach them all that he had commanded. And so if we're going to do that, we have to learn, firstly, what the foundation teachings are. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 16, it says this, "But grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." And if we go on then from there on to verse 11, it says, "And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. It is the intention of God that we all become mature and able to stand on our own two feet and withstand the storms and evils of this world. God helps us by providing gifts to the church that we can grow and become mature. He gives some people gifts to be able to teach or to preach or to prophesy and so on, for the purpose of building up his church. These gifts are given to be employed in God's work so that his people can be strong and can be mature. It's God's will for his people to come to the place where they stand as strong as Jesus stood, to be in the image of Jesus Christ. We need to learn his ways and follow his path, and every journey starts with the first steps. Now, just as a building starts with a foundation, so too a Christian must have a foundation. God provides his teachers, his apostles, his prophets, evangelists and pastors to be the builders of his house and to use the gifts that he gives them. And as we saw in that scripture, they all go back to and grow from Christ. And he says in verse 15, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love." And this links back to this idea of the cornerstone. The cornerstone is set in place and everything is then measured and marked and grown or built from that point. And so too, we are built and we grow from Christ. Over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, we're told this. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Now, one of the first things Jesus teaches us is that if we are to stand and not be shaken by the storms of this life, then we must be founded on the rock. Jesus is the rock. And we see here that to have our foundations built upon the rock of Jesus, we must hear these words of mine and do them, as he says in the scripture. Not just hear, but hear and then act upon his words. Learn them, use them in our day-to-day lives to address all situations and the storms of life, all issues and problems, so that we overcome through the power of his words and by the working of the Holy Spirit. We see also in this scripture that those who hear but don't apply the words of the foundations of Jesus Christ won't be able to stand. They won't be stable and they won't be able to stand in the face of all the troubled times that are coming, all of the storms of this life. Today there are many Christians in difficulty because they never learned and do not apply the foundation teachings of Christianity in their lives. And that's why it's so important that we learn those foundations first. Over in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, this is written, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation upon the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But he who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, against which the stream broke, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." This teaching repeats the previous one, but it gives a better mental image of how the foundations need to be applied. We need to dig deep to be founded on the rock. When a builder builds a house, they must dig down and lay foundations on the bedrock. Sometimes this may mean they dig 5, 10, 20 feet or more until they get to solid rock. But when they build this way, the house built is strong and will never be moved. Now, I know this from experience. My father was a builder, and I remember him building a house one time, and it happened that that particular building was built on what used to be at one time an old stream bed. And he had to dig down, and it wasn't a very big house that he was building this particular time, but he had to dig down, and he dug down about 20 to 25 feet to be able to set the foundations on the bedrock, and there was actually more concrete and more structure under the ground than what there was above it. But it was necessary because that particular plot of land had floods that would go through, it would rain, and I recall going up to that house one time when we had a particularly heavy rainfall, and the rain was just rushing down through that piece of land. But because the foundation was built solidly and the foundation was dug down deep, it didn't affect the house at all. So the image of the stream breaking against the house in this particular scripture in Luke 6 is a good one, because when the foundation's strong, the stream parts and flows around the house and does no significant damage. But if the foundation's weak, the house is washed away. It's the same for a Christian. If a Christian doesn't have the right foundation, doesn't have a strong foundation that's founded on the rock that is Jesus, and doesn't understand the foundation teachings, then they too will be washed away when the storms of life and the floods of this world come upon them. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 to 17, one other thing I should mention about the previous one is the Lord said in the first verse, Luke 6, 46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" And that's the big problem. We have to learn to do what he told us. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 to 17 says this, "For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work which any man has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that temple you are." In verses 1 to 8 of this particular chapter in 1 Corinthians 3, it shows how immature these Christians were, saying, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," and so on. Is this any different today when we say we belong to one denomination or another, or to one church group or another? All of us belong to Christ Jesus and Christ alone. As this scripture shows, there is only one foundation, and that is Christ Jesus. Any other so-called foundation or teaching is wrong. So if you think about all of the different denominations or splinter groups and churches and sects that exist in Christendom today, and I don't know how many there are, there must be literally thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and especially if you added in all the different home churches and things like that, I don't know how many there are. But the one thing that they all have in common is they all preach Jesus Christ. They may have many different diverse teachings outside of that, but they all preach Jesus Christ. They all have the foundation of you need to have faith in Jesus Christ. The denominations are simply the mechanisms through which we come to Christ and where we meet to learn and grow. But make no mistake, you are not baptised into any church. You are or must be baptised into Christ Jesus and Christ alone. And if any church, minister or pastor teaches otherwise, then they'll have to give account to God. There is only one foundation, but there may be many qualities of building built upon that foundation. Now, there's only one foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But all of the things that are being taught to Christians in the many denominations and groups and sects and so on and so forth, all of those are going to be tested by fire. And by fire, we're talking about the fires of life, the testing fires that every Christian will go through. Buildings of gold or silver are those where the people have learned the truth and followed Jesus according to his words. Gold and silver are actually improved and refined by fire. If you think about the quality of gold or silver, if they want to purify it, if it's got impurities in it, they throw it in a furnace. They heat it up, they melt it down, and they burn off all of the dross. It's the same with Christians. Christians who have learned the truth, when they go through the fires, they learn and they grow and they are purified and become more mature. But those buildings that are built out of wood or hay or straw, they'll be burned by the fires of testing. If you throw a piece of wood or a piece of hay or a piece of straw into a fire, then in a matter of time, they will burn up. I mean, straw and hay will disappear in seconds. A lump of wood, depending on how big it is, might last for an hour or two, but they all get burnt up. But when they're talking about gold and silver, they aren't burned, and precious stones too. There may be an exception there. I believe diamonds can burn, but don't hold me to that. I'm not a gemologist. But certainly the other precious stones, they're produced by high heat and high pressure, so they would withstand a fire also, I would expect. But not like silver and gold that are actually improved by going through the fires. They will remain stable. They won't be burned. And so that's what this is teaching us in this particular scripture here. He's saying the building that's built on the foundation, there can only be one foundation, that's Jesus Christ. But we need to be careful about what we build on it. And so we need to understand all of the foundational teachings. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 14, the writer says this: "About this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil." And here's the challenge that Paul had with the Hebrews. Well, we think it's Paul who wrote it, may not be, but here's the challenge that the writer of Hebrews had, and it's the same challenge today. Many in the church who should be mature in Christ are not. They should be able to teach others, but they can't. Why? Because they didn't grasp and hold firm to the first principles, that is, the foundations of Christianity. And because they did not have the foundations, they could not grow and they could not mature. As the writer here says, they need milk, not solid food, because they're still babes in Christ. And in the same way today, there are many who are still babes in Christ, needing milk, needing someone to teach them the foundations and the first principles of Christianity. And the purpose of these foundations, we see here in verse 14, says they are to have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. If we can't do this, then we're open to all the foul and evil false teachings the devil has infiltrated into the church and is continuing to do. But when we know good from evil, we can reject falsehood and lies and stand firm in the faith we have in Christ Jesus. So what are these basic foundations, the foundational teachings of Christianity? Well, we're fortunate because the writer of Hebrews wrote these down in Hebrews 6 verses 1 and 2, where he says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation," and here are the foundations, "of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, with instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." So this brings us to the most important point in this podcast about foundations. Just exactly what are the foundation teachings of Christianity? These couple of verses tell us clearly that the six most important foundation teachings of the New Covenant are 1, repentance, 2, faith, 3, baptism in water, 4, laying on of hands, 5, resurrection of the dead, and 6, eternal judgment. These 6 foundations are key to gaining the basic strength that Christians need to be able to stand. These are so important that we must understand these 6 key things because they provide the structure on which the Lord can bring a Christian to maturity. It's these that form the basics of this part of this Salvation Road podcast. This is the first part that we're going to look at, and we'll study that in the weeks going forward, building from one foundation to the next and seeing how they knit together to support one another. In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 to 29, we see this. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. So learning and understanding these foundations is not hard. However, you might find things in these teachings that are strange to your ears, and you may not have come across before, especially if you have come from a traditional denominational church background. You're going to find some very unusual teachings in this. You're going to find some things that you're going to say, oh, I've never been taught that in church, or I've never heard that before. I assure you I will back everything up with Scripture. And then it'll be up to you to decide whether or not you believe what the Bible says or believe what your minister says. Every point raised and every matter discussed in here will be validated by the Scriptures and the Word of God. And I encourage you to check the words in your own Bible. Read the Scriptures. Pray about them, especially if they're difficult for you to grasp or are different to what you may already believe. There is a cost involved. That's what that Scripture is all about. You first sit down and count the cost. There is a cost involved and a price to pay to be a Christian. Not in financial terms. There's no cost. The teachings of the Kingdom of God are free. Everyone can have them. So it's not in financial terms, but there is a cost in turning from the teachings of the world, throwing out false teachings that exist in the modern church, and being prepared to seek the truth. You must decide if you're willing to seek the Lord the way he wants to be found and to confirm his words and his teachings through prayer, meditation on the Scripture, and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So here's some things worth considering. Many people preach many things and say they are essential to salvation. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Can you see that just by focusing on these few key foundations, how it's possible for Jesus' words to be fulfilled? There is not a lot that we have to know for salvation, but there are some things that are critical to our growth. There is a cost to be paid to be a Christian. Are you prepared to make the necessary commitment to stand with Christ? And apart from faith, think about what is your foundation. What do you believe? When or if you come across some teachings that are strange to your ears, and I'm going to tell you now that in these subjects that I'm going to cover in this podcast, you are going to come across some teachings that are strange to your ears. Are you willing to listen and test these teachings to see if they hold true? So what I suggest you do is consider these foundations and the need for foundations in general. Study the Scriptures in this podcast and identify anything you feel unsure about. Write your questions down and you can send me something on email. Go to my website at freegiftfromgod.com and you'll find my email address there. And seek and ask the questions that you want to know, that you want answers to. So right now I'd suggest spend a moment in prayer to thank the Lord for giving us these important teachings, to build a strong foundation on the rock that is Jesus. And in the next lesson, we're going to commence looking at these foundations, and we're going to look firstly at the foundation teaching of repentance. And there's a lot in this. The subject of repentance is much larger than many believe. It's extremely important to a Christian. It's much more than just being sorry for things you've done. And most importantly, it is the true first step along the salvation road, where a person steps out of the life of sin in this world and into a life that seeks what is good, right and true in the eyes of God. So until next time, there's some things to think about, and I hope that you'll join me in the next podcast in this series.